I got some stuff up here from Rock of Ages. I guess we'll get pinned up over there in a little bit. Got a digital magazine sign-up card. And, if you want to make use of that opportunity, it's got the address and everything on there where you can get online and sign up for them. Of course, this here is about the crayons and stuff, you know, reaching around the world. Put that in mind. Remember all of our missions, missionaries, and ask God to bless them. Got your Bibles. we're going to... we're going to go back to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read over some of the notes going back to there. Now, this series is about, we're talking about maintaining the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but they are mighty unto God, and pulling down the strongholds. And the first one we're looking at is the Word of God. We looked at the living word, which is Christ, found in John chapter 1, the written word, the scriptures. And we got an entire chapter, 119, of the book of Psalms that is dedicated to the scriptures. We got the engrafted word, which is Christ in us, and the spirit, John 14, 16, and John 16, 13, which teaches us the word. We have the spoken word beginning in Genesis chapter 3, and we see the attack of the spoken word in Genesis 3, 3, which is unbelief, and that's something that we have to fight at all times. You say, well, I have no problem with unbelief. Well, I'm telling you, a lot of times we can think that we're believing, but our minds can be being swayed to a point that me and the preacher was talking about, and I said it seems that oftentimes our minds move very slowly. We're constantly being attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And before you know it, if you ain't careful, you'll say, "How did I get here?" The three main enemies of God's word is the world and the lust of this world. And you can find that over there, and again in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. The flesh, or the lust of desires of the flesh, he saw the tree that it was good for food. And then the devil, the destroyer, and that is the soul of pride. And he got it in her mind that she said, and it was desire to make one wise. In other words, she would be like God, you know, and that pride welled up in her, and she took of the fruit. She was deceived. We looked at in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verses 15, we just see the gospel, and there's always an attack against the gospel. It's constantly. You find it all the time in our media today. The gospel is constantly being attacked. It's ridiculed as a good story. Jesus Christ was a good man, but you know, and he died a good man, and that's all there is to it. And you can take and live by these precepts if you want to. And we've come to a day where man does that which is right in his own eyes. We find that time and time again in the scriptures that man will come to that point. And here in America, I heard, what's his name? Joe Biden. And he was talking about, you know, these enemies of America, talking about the Republican Party, how that, you know, they were, you know, they out to promote, you know, the Republican Party against the people of these United States. Well, I'm a Republican because I don't believe you can trust the people of the United States. I believe every last one of them will vote for their pocketbook. I believe the only thing they care about is, you know, is their own selves, and for the most part, you can't trust the people of the United States of America. They don't want no trouble, but every now and then, as a nation, you got to stand against some things. I mean, how many of y'all want trouble? I don't want no trouble with foreign countries, you know. I don't want no trouble here, you know, amongst different peoples and this and that. I don't want that. But sometimes you just got to do what's right for everybody, whether you know, they want it or not, you know. It's just like when you had youngins growing up. Every now and then, man, they didn't want to eat nothing except for, you know, sweets or whatever it was, and whether it be peanut butter and jelly. I don't want nothing but peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. What you want for something? Peanut butter and jelly. And then you fix them some, you know, a good meal up there, good for their body, and say, I want that. I want peanut butter and jelly. Well, sometimes you have to do like my mama said. Well, I tell you what, you can eat this or go to bed without anything to eat. After about 2 or 3 days of that, you know what? You'll be looking for something to eat. And if she says no peanut butter and jelly, you're going to get what was there on your plate. And sometimes, you know, we have to do that. We have to do that. We have to do what's right and stand and don't move. And we find that right here. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I'm thankful that the faith of the Son of God, I received it in 1984, and it's been teaching me the faith of the Word of God ever since. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they without excuse. Well, we're living in a day when this world says, well, you know, God, you know, is not equal, he's not fair. He has not, if you say the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ, you got people living in darkness out there, well, it's God's fault. If they're living in darkness, it's called it's what they want. It's what they want. Because the Holy Spirit is going out in the whole of the world. Jesus Christ is a light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. You either believe that or you don't. The Spirit of God deals with the hearts of men all over this world. All over this world. Everybody's got a measure of light. Everybody's been given a measure of faith to know that there's a God. And God said they're without excuse. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. So man tries to bring God down to his level. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, freeing their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature, likewise also to men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. For even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Sounds like the neighborhood, don't it? I mean, honestly, it sounds like about any given neighborhood here in the United States of America is full of these things. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unmerciful. Man, I hear them down on the job talk, you know, They're very merciful towards themselves, but other people, they ain't got a whole lot of mercy. You don't hear a whole lot of mercy coming out of their mouth. Give them what they deserve. Give, man, which of us want what we deserve? I don't know about you. I want grace. I want mercy. I don't want what's coming to me. You know, if I got what was coming to me, I'd be laying in hell right now. My back broke. I'm a sinner. There's nothing good in David Leslie. And there ain't nothing good in none of y'all either, other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. Period. And like that old saying said, except by the grace of God, there goeth I. You know, that's so true. If God in His mercy hadn't saved you, you don't know how deep in your depravity you would have went. Or you can still go. Now, the thing I'm looking at right now, we're looking at what man who becomes stubborn and stiff-necked. They knew the truth. They said they knew that knowing the truth, yet they didn't desire the truth. What did they do? They wanted what they wanted. They wanted peanut butter sandwiches. Peanut butter jelly sandwich. I want a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I don't care what you said, Mama. I want a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I want a piece of candy. And throw a temper tantrum to get what you want. You know? And people do it all day. They do it in church. Man, I don't want white toilet tissue. I think we ought to have colored toilet tissue in the bathrooms. I think we ought to have, you know, I don't like that fuzzy soap. I like liquid soap. I don't like liquid soap. I like bar soap. You know? And people just fight and fuss and complain and grumble about all sorts of things. Happens in church. I don't like the color of this carpet. You get in there, and boy, I tell you what, if you let people take a vote on the color of the carpet, they kill each other over it. Somebody will get offended because they didn't like the color that they wanted. And I tell you, my father-in-law, he was an engineer, but he had oversight on a lot of that stuff. They'd go into offices and, you know, redo them. As an engineer, you know, he had oversight on a lot of that stuff. He said, you wouldn't believe how crazy these people would get over colors and stuff, you know. It just... They grumble and complain if you didn't do what you want. I like what we had before better than this. And you hear grumbling and complaining all over the place. And people want what people want, and whether they save, lost, or whatever, we got to deal with that flesh. I once heard Jack Hiles say that boxing was wicked. And he said, as long as they do it, I won't see you ever fight again. What was he saying? He didn't care if it was wrong or not. He was going to watch it. And I'm afraid we all get that mentality if we're not careful. Well, how far will that lead you? You know? One day it's boxing. Next thing you know, it's this, you know, this full contact martial arts. What's next? You know, I'm surprised there ain't more people dead from boxing than I see. I've seen some of that before. I've seen guys get hit so hard that they go into the ground. It's like this, it's just trembling, shaking. And when they hit the ground, they jump on top of them, beat them some more until the referee pulls them off. You know, counts him out. But, you know, people have that tendency. For some reason, it seems like we like violence. Notice what it says down here. In knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but notice what it says, hath pleasure in them that do them. Now, Why is it in the world, why in the world the people watch some of the things they watch in the movie theaters and in television? Because they have pleasure in them that do them. They entertain themselves with violence, immorality, and knowing that it's wrong. That knowing that these things are wrong, yet it says they have pleasure in them that do them. Well, there's two guys in a ring beating each other's brains out. We're on a football field. Or whatever. Now, it's just going to... I'm afraid that it's the little things that if we really looked at and judged it by this Word of God and by the mind of God, there's probably things that we accept that God would not. And because we have begun to accept that, it's going to have effect on judgment, on our judgment about things. And it can also bring judgment. Because if we judge not ourselves, what's going to come? If we don't judge ourselves, God's judgment is coming. So we're warned of that. And then he goes on in verses in chapter 2, says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art, that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. That's plain as a nose on your face. He said, you can sit there and point your finger at somebody else. He said, remember, you got three fingers pointing back at you. And we need to take heed to these kind of things and then examine ourselves and pray to God and help Him to show where we're failing. Now, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs, very familiar scripture. Very familiar scripture. We read it tons of times. We'll begin reading in verse 1. He said, my son, forget not my law. That's the word of God. But let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart, and so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. By taking heed to God's word, by binding these precepts upon our hearts, this word of God, letting it be wrote upon the table of our heart, and then it says right here, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of men. Then he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. And be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. So how is it that we can be wise, not be wise in our own eyes? Look at that next few words. Fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If God doesn't like something, we ought not like it too. If it's not a promotion, it's not being promoted by God, neither should we promote it. I heard it all my life. You know, who is it that really supports us? The sports programs of this country. Who has it been for the majority? People like Budweiser, the beer companies. I once read a book, I don't know if you ever read it, and it was called In His Steps. And there was a guy in his story, he was he had a newspaper. Boy, we know how newspapers are, don't we, Brother Jim? in this newspaper, he began to realize that they promoted a bunch of stuff that he knew that God wouldn't promote. He also began to realize, rather than necessarily printing words that could be a help to the community, they looked for what was spectacular. You know? If you've read about a murder, print all the details. You know what I mean? Just get all the garbage you can find out about it and print that. That's what people want to read. And it's true. God convicted him of it. And all the sporting events, all of it was held up because he had decided he wasn't going to publish in his paper the story about a prize fight that everybody was waiting to see. So he didn't print it. His publisher said, "Are you crazy?" And the editor said, "Are you crazy?" He said, "All these people are going to cancel prescriptions if we don't do this. If we don't print that story in there." He said, "What do you think about, you know, in all our advertisers? Are they going to cancel?" He said, "Oh, I hadn't thought about them." And he went to look. He said, "Bring me all those that hold count in advertising. Tobacco companies, beer companies, liquor companies." This was back in the 20s when it was based on. He said, "God wouldn't want me to be putting them in his paper. If this is his paper." And then God said, "You can't run a paper like that. You understand? You will go broke." Money can be a great influence in people's lives. Popular opinion can be a great influence in our lives. Little things can move us. He hadn't even noticed this. He was just running a paper, right? Well, everybody runs a paper. Or runs a business like everybody runs a business. Everybody runs businesses are above reproach. They wouldn't do anything a little shady or crooked or anything. We got to watch ourselves at all times. He says, look at here. And he says right here that be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. That word evil there doesn't mean like most people. Most people, you say the word evil, they think about sinister, dark spirits and men like Adolf Hitler and stuff like that. That ain't what that's talking about. I was talking about things that would destroy your credibility, things that would destroy eventually your life, your love towards God, destroy your walk with God. It's evil. Things that could come in our life to keep us from walking with God the way we should. That's evil. Satan's come but to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's come to bring evil into your lives. Destruction. By you're just implanting little things. Oh, it's just a little white lie. I mean, everybody tells them. I'm just trying to avoid some problems, some troubles. You know, I don't want nobody getting all upset about something, so I'll distort the truth. Besides, you know, everybody does it. Lean not to your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. Look at verse 27. Excuse me, back up to 13. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, and gain thereof than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths peace. She's a tree of life to them lay hold of her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens, and by his knowledge the depths are broken up. The clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so that shall they be life unto thy soul, grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. I want you to see the power of the Word of God. When we learn to fear the Lord, depart from these evil things that could be in our lives that are gently leading us astray, and we walk in the paths and in the fear of God. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it is to depart from evil. And like I said, evil is not that little devil with a pitchfork coming out to get you, or the monsters and stuff that they all celebrate around Halloween. Yes, that can be evil. Yes, that is evil. But that's not what this is talking about. He's talking about the little things, where it's the little foxes that destroy vines. It's the little things in life that can get and destroy a personal walk with God. Now look who's telling this. Whose proverbs are these? Solomon's. Solomon's. Wisest man that ever lived. What happened to him? He turned from the fear of God, didn't he? Wisest man that ever lived turns from the fear of God. He goes after the opinions of all these other people. Next thing you know, he's an idolater, building temples to these false gods and following after the naggings of his wives. Several things that he did. I mean, and God kept on blessing. God kept on blessing. Even though he was doing things that God had told him not to do. And he didn't fear God the way he should. And he didn't do what the Word of God told him he should do. And slowly these things eroded his walk with God. He wasn't, the Bible made it plain, he wasn't to multiply gold and silver. But he did. It said that silver was in such abundance, it was like the stones on the ground. Gold by the tons came in yearly. And he wasn't to multiply horses, yet he had huge stables where he multiplied horses to show the great power that his kingdom had. And he wasn't to multiply wives. And we know that the man had how many? 700? 300 concubines? No wonder he went crazy. In America, that's about every man's dream. He's a fool. The fear of God is to flee these things. He slowly went downhill. Look at now. Take your Bibles. I want you to thinking about this. I got several. I got right here. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to drop down and read these other verses too. 27-31 says, withhold not good from whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. And devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with righteousness. I want you to see. First, we find that, beginning in verse 1, down through 8, we find how our own understanding, what is right in our own eyes, will become our enemy. He said, lean not to thine own understanding, but be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. And if you do that, it will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. He also lets us know that if we don't, what will happen. You find that in 13 through 26, God gives us the power to do as he does. Look at it. in 13 through 26, you see the great power that God have done. He said, if you'll take and you'll take heed to these words, and if you take heed to wisdom, if you'll fear me like you ought to, and turn from the evil way, and God talks about how we'd be established, how we would live safely, and our foot would not stumble. We could lay down, not be afraid, and we'd have full confidence, and our foot would not be taken. We would be secure in the power and the might of following after the Word of God, not to our own understanding. And then finally, we find that God's words will give us the power to do as He does. We find Him doing good to us if we obey His Word, right? And then you find Him, He said, when your neighbor asks of you, He said, do. What's He want us to do? He's wanting us to take the Word of God and become like Him. And do like He does. Be kind, be forgiving, be helpful, be encouraging. Take the words of God, and when God blesses you through your obedience, now go out and bless others. Be a help and a strength to others. Now take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Psalms, chapter 1. Great Psalm is chapter 1. One of my favorites. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, I'm going to tell you, the world, for the most part, are walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, I know. Again, it's like that word evil. You think ungodly, you think about these wicked, vile people who don't, you know what I mean, they don't have no morals. They just live, you know, wicked, vile lives of sexual immorality and drunkenness and all this. No, that's not what ungodliness is. That is ungodly. But that's not all. I think what ungodliness means to be all these wicked and vile things. That's wickedness. What does it mean to be ungodly? Just leave God out of it. Just leave God out of it. You know? Worldly wisdom. You know? Morality. Morality in itself can be ungodliness. Your morals could be dictated by, what you think is right and wrong that happens to you. You can be very moral and still be ungodly as a devil. Morality is not the answer for America. God is the answer for America. We can teach people to, we got a group out there talk about the brotherhood of man and how that God is our, you know, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Well, everybody's not God's children, and not everybody is our brother. But this world, and through morality, I mean, you got whole crowds of religion out there that try to teach morality, do good, do right, and all this, but it's not. Ungodliness is when you leave God out of it and go about to establish your way in this world. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We got a lot of people out there, I mean, you know, they're brilliant scientists, but they're atheists. Some of them are very, very moral. They would not. They attempt not to lie, steal, or cheat. They, you know, they got families. They try to raise them up to be good to people and treat, and you know, and to walk in an upright and moral way. But they're ungodly, and their ungodliness will lead people in a path of destruction. You leave God out of it, you ain't got nothing.
You ain't got no God, you ain't got nothing. Because you came in this world with nothing, be sure you're leaving out. So if you don't have God, you don't have nothing.
So walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the wind. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That word right there, perish, it simply means damned, destroyed. They're going to perish. Look in Psalm chapter 2. The man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scorner, his life shall be prosperous, and he shall stand in the day of judgment. While those that are ungodly and who do take counsel with the ungodly and stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful, they shall perish. In Psalm chapter 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Vain imaginations. Our mind will lead us into vain imaginations. Paul says, casting down evil imaginations. Those things that would lead us away from God. Those things that maybe that might be a little pit of ours. Like with Jack Howell's boxing. Or whatever it is. I mean, he stood in condemnation of his own self. He said, I know it's wicked. But as long as they do it, I won't watch every fight. He stood in condemnation of himself. How many of us stand in condemnation of our own selves? What is it that can lead us slowly into ruin? And he says, the heathen imagine a vain thing. And the kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together. And, hey, ungodly counsel. They're going to perish. And he said, and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And he that saith in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He shall speak unto them his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. He goes on and he said, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled. And we find over in the book of Revelation, it says, for the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? That's what that's talking about right there. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, his way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to thine own understanding. I got a couple of examples I want to quickly give you, and I'll be done with this lesson. These were people. They were God's people, but they followed after their own counsel, and it led into great problems. I already mentioned one. I didn't use him in here, but I mentioned the one who wrote the book of Proverbs. King Solomon. We know how he did. Started off going with God. By the end, he's fighting against God and God's will and God's mind. And he ends up dying that way. We know how King David himself, when he knew the truth, yet he lusted. His eyes saw something. He wanted it. And he said, within, he counseled within himself and said, "Oh, nobody will know. I'll take this girl. I want her. Nobody's going to know about it. Husband's going off to war. And none of my servants going to tell because they know I might have him put to death." You know? Being a king, he thought he could get away with it, but he forgot something. He's just like the old fella that was down there robbing taters out of a man's tater patch and throw them in the bag with his son. He looked to the left, he looked to the right, he looked behind him, he looked in front of him, and the boy said to him, "Hey, Daddy, you forgot to look up." We all need to realize we need to look up. It doesn't matter which of y'all find me in failure. It matters when he finds me walking away from me. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. Disturbing things that I saw. I've been reading this book and saw very disturbing things in this book of Chronicles. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Beginning in 29.
What chapter, Dave?
2 Chronicles. 20. What did I say? 29, didn't I? 2 Chronicles. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles 35. I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Through 27. So then after this was Josiah had prepared the temple. Josiah had helped bring revival back to the people. Hezekiah had been a good king and he brought revival back to the people. And then his son Manasseh walked away from God, but God humbled him and brought him back and put him back in the king. And from after that he walked with God. But now, you see, Josiah, he has brought the country back into revival. And it says in verses 20, after all of this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. And he said, notice something. It said, and he went out against him. You see any prayer involved there? You see any seeking God's mind? Did he call on, you know, the prophets to pray about what I should do on this matter? No, he decided. He quickly decided, I'm going out against him. But now, Necho, he sent ambassadors to him saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war, for God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God." He sent ambassadors, said, "Don't meddle with God's will. This is God's will right now. Why are you going to meddle with God's will?" Nevertheless, who is with me that he destroy thee not? Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearken not unto the words of Necho. Where did it say? What's the next verse say? Next words. From the mouth of God. These were Necho's words, but it come out, these are the words that he said, but where did they come from? The mouth of God. So he wasn't listening to God. Even though he was right with God, even though he had brought revival back to the people, he quickly made a decision, and that ain't very wise, is it, Brother Jim? He quickly made a decision on his own. I'm going out against him. I think I can whoop him. I think I can take him. God sent ambassadors. He said, look, don't meddle with this.
This is of me. Well, wouldn't you think he would at least inquire of the men of God and say, is this true? Is this of God? No, he didn't. He lent to his own understanding.
And he goes out to battle and he falls. He dies. Look quickly then over here in 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29, 1 and 3. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name is Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father. And he, in the first year of his reign, the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He's bringing revival back to the country. And then look in chapter 30, 24 through 27. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 7,000 sheep. Princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah were the priests and Levites and the congregation that came out to Israel. The strangers that came out of the land of Israel, they dwelt in Judah, rejoiced. There was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not like it in Jerusalem. And the priests, the Levites, arose, blessed the people. And their voice was heard. And a prayer came up to the holy dwellings, even unto heaven. What a great revival it come through this man, Hezekiah. Now, but look, in chapter 32. Beginning in 23, verse 23. It says, and many bought gifts unto the Lord of Jerusalem in the presence of Hezekiah, king of Judah, so they were magnified. He was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. And in those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord. He spake unto him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him. You know what happened? Some people came along and started patting him on the back and said, boy, you're a great one. You're a great king. And boy, they began to lift him up. And he became lifted up in his own mind because all the people patted him on the back, doing a great job, and you're doing something for God. And God had wrath towards him. And he got sick, and he was going to die, and he prayed, said, Lord, you know how I walked before thee. He humbled himself. He didn't want to die. The Lord had commanded him to set his house in order. But when he cried and wept, the Lord gave him 15 more years, and he never did put his house in order. I will peanut butter and jelly, God.